Give glory to God, our light and our life.
You're listening to the recordings of sessions from the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music in July of 2024, hosted by Concordia University, Nebraska. If you'd like to learn more about past LCMS worship institutes or about those that might be coming soon, visit lcms.org/worship-institute.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
He put a new song in my mouth.
A song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear.
And put their trust in the Lord.
We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord.
His power and the wonders he has done.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
My soul is at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from God.
Thank you.
and Psalm 112. God would bless those who sing his song with love for those who sing with them, and grant those who hear them a genuine desire to hear God's voice. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That he would open the hearts of those who hear to receive the blessings of the Spirit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That those who lead the Lord's song would be diligent in their duties, taking care to maintain their skills and be ever mindful of the Lord's intentions in their service. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would keep our voices in good health and lead us from temptations that would harm or endanger them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That he would preserve his song from all who seek to silence it and guard us from distraction. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That he would grant wisdom and discernment to our congregations, that they may grow in their understanding of worship and joyfully support the art of music and service of the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, grant that what we sing with our lips we may show forth in our lives, and be shown forth in the lives of all who hear us. May your word dwell in us richly, resounding in our song, that we may be the people you intend. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.
So who do we have here? This is my beloved wife, Cheryl. So you know, this is a, so we know each other quite well.
Yes, you do.
Exactly. You are?
Jana Kinsley.
And where are you from, Jana?
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
I was born in Virginia Beach.
Were you really?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's neat. The church is in Norfolk. So.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I was actually baptized at All Saints Orthodox Church in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. How long has it been since you've been there?
We visited, drove through, just I wanted to check on the church that I was baptized in.
Like
2000 or 99.
Late
there was
90s.
An ALCM conference in Richmond.
Okay.
You know, summer of 99.
Yeah. Good. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Are you there because of the Navy, or are you there?
No, I was born there.
You're just a native.
I'm a native.
You got to put up with all of us military brats.
Exactly.
It's a great place to live.
It
and
is.
You are?
I'm Jude Kruismark.
Oh. What your last name is?
Kinsley.
Okay,
Kinsley.
Jude Kruismark. So you are you in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where in Minnesota?
45 minutes from Rochester.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. What town is it?
Near Austin.
Okay, near Austin. I've driven through there before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you're near Rochester, you're near that river valley that really bugs my allergies. So I've broken out in hives just driving across the Mississippi there.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Up in Lanesboro, it's terrible sometimes.
Mm.
What is it that you're allergic to?
Well, people have different allergies. I have problems with the molds that inhabit the Missouri and Mississippi river valleys, and they can make me break out.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I have problems with a lot of stuff like ragweed.
Yeah.
Pollen, stuff like that.
That's me. I'm a tree and grass person.
Yeah. And cats.
Oh.
I've got that
number.
One too.
Cats.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so tell me, like, you know, what attracted you to a workshop on leading psalms from the piano?
Well, I've been a Methodist most of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I started going to the Lutheran church, and then I got talked into because I was an organist and a music director,
right.
And so I got talked into doing the music there at the Lutheran church, and so it's quite a bit different and much more formal than Methodist.
Sure. Well,
so
you know,
I'm
Methodism
just,
though is it well, of course our churches vary as well, but you know, Methodism is kind of a box of chocolates as far as, you know.
Exactly. It can be all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But so I'm just exposing myself to you know, leading some of these things, you know, from the organ and therefore the choir, you know,
mm-hmm.
encouraging them how to do this kind of thing.
Okay. Do you know Audrey King?
No.
Okay. Audrey King was one of my piano teachers, and she and her husband Richard retired to Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Very active in piano circles in the area for many years. Yeah.
Neat.
So how long have you been playing?
Piano, like 2 years.
2 years. So you're.
But I've been playing violin since I was like 4 or 6.
Okay.
Cool.
So violin. Well, yeah, your father's a violinist, correct?
Mm-hmm. You played yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
yeah.
I was like, I had the flash of like, okay, when you said your last name.
Recognize.
See, I couldn't see the name tag, so when you walked in together, I was like, well, are you?
No.
That's okay. So Jude, you played violin, and now you start playing piano. Did you play any organ?
I want to. I have to play organ in September for one of my dad's churches.
Oh,
so
whoa. That's like throw a puppy in the sea and swim.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's the way I learned organ. They just threw me
it's
on.
It's a very small church, so it'll be a very good experience.
Yeah.
There's like
it
maybe 10 people on it, something,
mm-hmm.
not even.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I forget, I don't know if she has settings for all the divine service settings and what they're doing, but. Elizabeth Grimpo, Dr. Grimpo,
mm-hmm.
just gave the recital. She's got some simplified accompaniments for the liturgy
mm-hmm.
that may save your bacon. so you might want to consider picking those from David's harp. So
you may have those.
Okay.
I think we do, actually.
Okay.
I do.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right, so here's the deal then. All right, the
mm-hmm.
most important thing when you're accompanying psalmody, whether you're playing on the organ or the guitar or the piano,
mm-hmm.
the harp of 88 strings,
mm-hmm.
You know, Psalm 33, we're instructed to play skillfully on the harp of 10 strings. Well, here we have the harp of 80, you know, actually more than 88 keys.
Right.
So how many strings are in there? Multiply by 3, then by 2, then by 1.
Right.
And probably about 250 strings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I digress. So anyway, I meander. She can't, you know, keep me on task here. But whatever you, the most important thing is the singing. The primary choir of the church is the congregation in our Lutheran tradition. And so to have that sense, it's vital that you sing what you're going to accompany before you try to accompany it. You can't really give away something you don't have. So if you can't sing the psalm or the hymn or liturgical piece that you're going to lead, it's going to turn into more of a mathematical exercise. And as Dr. Brown so aptly and wisely reminded us in his keynote today, the music is in the air, not on the page.
Right.
So it's good that we got to sing together, even though I was doing all kinds of stuff on the piano, and I can kind of explain some of the crazy things. We're going to go into psalm tones before we're over here. I have a handout and some things to share for you. But since I went ahead and passed out some things, I passed out the Tese accompaniment realization, Psalm 62, My Soul is at Rest. We're gonna take a look at that together because we did do the Tese psalm, and then we did a hymn paraphrase. And then we did a kind of a modern psalm with like the straight ESV text. So you had a little of, you had you know, three different styles of psalmody here.
Mm-hmm.
And but the first thing I passed out was this, My Soul is at Rest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, if in your ministry you find this useful, this is you know, free to reproduce or recast. And if the prayers are a little clunky, you can reword them. They are taken from a devotion that's in Church Music for the Care of Souls, Lexham Press.
Oh yeah, I have that.
You have my book?
I'm the author. Yeah, I've read most of it. It's very good.
He keeps bumping into people who have read it and he's surprised.
Wow,
it's great. It's a great book.
Maybe I'll get some royalties.
It's a great book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jan. I appreciate
You're welcome.
That. Okay.
You're welcome.
So here's what it is. This is like what you would see if you buy. You buy this. And if you actually use this psalm in church, you'll need to get permission from either GIA or report it with one license. It's in several hymnals and psalm resources. This, of course, is my intellectual property, and you can just have it, okay? It's my gift. Yeah, just
Thank
have
you.
It. Yeah.
Thank
but yeah, and then this is how it like would look in a bulletin, right? So the cantor or choir would sing the italicized, you know, part, and then the people just sing the refrain. And now here's a little graphic. But then, like, the musician would see this because you need a soloist to sing these verses. So I give you everything. But we're interested in the piano part.
Right.
So let's take a look at the piano part. It's good you have the other for comparison.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's say that the cantor that you have is a bass soloist. Okay? So what you want to avoid doing, future, you know, organists and pianists, is it doesn't work well on the piano like it might on an organ with like a soft 8-foot stop just to play this 4-part SATB harmonization. And if it's all you can do, this it's not like, you know, lightning bolt's not going to come out from heaven and smite you.
Right.
But it doesn't really take advantage of what the piano can do or how the piano would lead. You have some fundamentals with congregational song. One reason the organ is such a good instrument for the majority of hymns, I'd say a strong majority of hymns, and for many applications, even as I do use piano in worship. With the organ, an organist with skill provides bass, which gives a foundation with the pedals, okay? And then can provide melody and harmony, and if the organ's played properly, rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the things covered. If you have a liturgical consort or a praise band that's actually geared toward leading people in singing and not just to like do, you know, rock popular Christian songs for them, they have to cover those bases. So you might have a bass guitar player or a cellist. Well, that 16-foot stop that the organist can play, well, this is down here. So you know this. I was using, you know, you have to have a lot of octave technique if you're going to lead congregational song from the piano.
Right.
So this, I was getting, you know, 16-foot stop every once in a while. Jackson, I gave a 32-foot stop down there. So that's part and parcel of what you have. Nice thing with the piano with a sustain chord is we can keep that harmony going. That harmony is that mid is in that mid register, and that envelops people with sound, and it helps people feel comfortable singing. Most of our congregations, the vast majority of people, are non-singers coming without rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to make a mistake or stand out or anything. So it's, you know, it's nice when you have more people singing and a good live acoustic, and then it encourages. But that's why we don't just have, like with the organ, play the melody and a bass, right? We
mm-hmm.
fill it in with chords, and that gives
right.
that warmth and that
right.
envelope to envelop the people with sound. But what an organist will do, you know, they can just be playing this. When it's time to sing, they'll pull a 4-foot or a 4 and a 2-foot stop. Do you know what those are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now the things are sounding an octave higher.
Right.
Well, the piano has to play an octave.
Right.
All right. Now, here's the deal, too. If I'm doing 8 and 4-foot and providing a bass, well, where's my harmony going, right?
Yeah.
So then, you know, you have to use the pedal to fill in, all right? Or you have to make choices. Maybe you're listening, they got the melody, now I can back away. So
mm-hmm.
so here's some concrete illustrations. Behind the bass soloist, he's modeling for the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a 16-foot stop,
mm-hmm.
and I really don't need, what I need is kind of outline some harmony and establish a pulse.
Right.
So you notice what I'll do is I'll arpeggiate with eighth notes. My soul is at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from God. So you see soul here is a D minor chord. So I played the D minor, and then because of this little passing tone, I pick it up on the end of 2.
Yeah.
From rest.
Yeah.
And then I get the D here on the end of 2,
yeah.
and then I resolve so it matches the, if anybody
yeah.
is singing in harmony. So, you know, and then here, this is just a pure D minor chord, so arpeggiate D minor, arpeggiate C major.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be beneficial to you, you're saying yes, 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 so you know your chord theory,
yeah, yeah.
you know, learn the chord theory. It's especially, if you're going to play piano or guitar, chord theory is essential. When I play from an organ, I can easily get away with opening out the Lutheran Service Book, a common edition, and play those harmonies. I can improvise, and I've got lots of books and stuff, but I mean, I can just pull that out and play it. It'll be great,
right?
You
right.
can, you know, pull the stops, you can change the sounds. Oh, we have gospel comfort here, so I'm going to pull some strings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a big doxology, you know, pull a mixture and a reed. You know, you can voice on your organ, right? Well, you know, piano can't do that. We have to do things with registration.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I might play up an octave. We're going to explore some of this, but I can't really do this unless I can, like, analyze, like, a D minor chord here, A chord here, a C chord here. All right, so with the treble soloist, all right, Cheryl, would you mind singing the antiphon for us? I'm going to play the second example. You notice, because accompanying, you want to get out of the way of the singer, so that the singer can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want to do when you're accompanying is a soloist is do this. You know? If I were to ask you to go to the store with me, we would walk side by side, correct? So we're accompanying each other,
mm-hmm.
all right? What I like to say is the congregation isn't a Muslim wife, you know, walking, you know, two feet behind the Sudanese husband.
Exactly.
You know? I saw that in Iowa a couple of years ago, and I'm like, what are they doing here? It's like two gals with a burqa. It's
wow.
like, polygamy in America. It's like, how are they allowing that? You know?
I know.
You know, so this guy's here, you know, and he's got these two beautiful women behind him in
yeah.
burqas, and I'm like, no. Well, the congregation, you know, okay, is not, you know, some oppressed, subjugated women in burqas, okay?
Yeah.
All right, congregation walks aside you. And the same with a soloist, okay? So here you go. Soloist, I'm going to accompany you. Notice I'm going to get out of her treble register and play lower. Go ahead.
My soul is at rest in God alone.
So what I did is, here's a D minor chord, I registered it lower. I could go a little higher because she's getting higher, so I went up a little bit with her. But I just did a lot to stay out of her way, and so then the bass moves down as well. Now it's time for the congregation to come in. You all have the music there, so the measure nine. I didn't play just pure octaves. I could have. Listen to the difference. Just listen. If I just did octaves. That would work. Now, yeah. But listen to this now. Within the octave, some of the notes missing from the left hand,
mm-hmm.
It frees the left hand up to pick up more of the 16 foot. Remember, if we're doing, you know, accompanying congregation, organ would have a 16 foot stop pulled, as well as a 4 or even a 4 and a 2. I can't do that. No, so I could do the pure octaves and just roll the chords. And all the harmonies there, but
right.
Now I've lost the bass.
Right.
See, when I did just the chords, you know, then I don't really need extra notes up here, but then I lost the bass. So the solution, I'm playing open fifth here. There isn't the fourth to the third, so I just work it in the right hand. So now I can do this. Nice open fifth. On the organ, there's our melody. I just provide the missing note there. And now we have that harmonic feel that just, you know, envelops people and encourages them to sing.
That's
all right, cool. So now we have text painting possibilities. First verse, on God rest my salvation and my glory. Now for me, what that sense is, I'm going to rest on the foundation of God's promises. So I thought, really just go low. So now I'm going to bring the bass way down. We've established a good pulse, so I don't need to like play eighth notes the whole time. So, and plus the soloist has got, on God rest my, he's going to keep time anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do this. On God rest my salvation and glory, my rock. And then for rock, so I even put rest in there. Rock and refuge is God. So you kind of let your imagination. So again, using the chord theory, but I'm just going to go low. And just play the chords. I reminded of rock band The Talking Heads in the 80s had this song called Artists Only. And one of the lines that David Byrne had was, I don't have to prove that I am creative. Right? You know, I'm showing you some creative stuff and I want to encourage you to explore,
right.
But sometimes less is more and the simplest is the best. You know, you don't have to prove anything.
Yeah.
And so here it's like, you know, I'm just going to play block chords. Half note. It's underneath the soloist. So we're just rock.
Uh-huh.
My rock and refuge is God. But then the second verse, let's have some contrast. The organist, again, they could just like change from one flute to another, or maybe put a little mutation on the swell and close the swell shape. They can get all kinds of colors. Piano's going to have to get color with pedaling, articulation, and register. So let's just do this. I moved up. And then I put the eighth notes here into kind of a little, almost a guitar picking. Trouble soloist. Can you take the trouble soloist? Take refuge in God,
sure.
Go ahead. Pick up. You have to pick up.
Okay.
soloists as well.
Yeah.
Take refuge in God, all you people. So I'm accompanying, I'm adding something.
Right.
We're walking together.
Right.
Instead of, I'm reading the notes that are on the page.
Right.
And then finally, to pour out your hearts, I'm thinking for pouring, I thought 16th notes cascading
mm-hmm.
downward, like we're mm-hmm. pouring some water out or something. So, for pour out your hearts, I give. And because it's fairly harmonic, the boom check works, right, with the pedal?
Yeah.
You know, boom check can be overdone. You know, we don't want everything sounding like it's from the 20s. You know, from the early. But, you know, but it's certainly a time-honored way of making the piano work. Bass, fill in the chord. And that works, boom chuck works pretty well here because you're getting some of the filling of the chord with the descending. And then for God is our refuge, I stop the pattern. Kind of a reminder that rock. And then I'll take it out. Now, other options. Do we always want to play the congregation this way? Maybe they've gotten used to singing that way, or maybe they've done the psalm before. So this is just to kind of expand your ideas, because I do this with hymns,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I play hymnody from the piano, I use the LSB guitar edition.
Oh. Hmm.
So that way I have the melody and the chord progression, because I'm the organ, the harmonic rhythm of the organ, you're having chords change every beat, even
mm-hmm.
sometimes every eighth note.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do this kind of stuff with a fast harmonic rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
The slower harmonic rhythms of the guitar really are wonderful for piano, because now I can play the harp of 220 strings.
Yeah.
All right? Because this is more like a guitar.
Cool.
You know? This is, I know, my Russian piano teacher always say, "Phew, it's a string instrument." Well, I guess a guitar is a string instrument. It's a percussion instrument. It's hammers hitting strings. You know, if a hammer hits a cymbal, you don't call that a brass instrument. So, you know.
I mean, I think in the orchestra, it's in the percussion section usually.
If you go to we went to the Saint-Saëns, the organ symphony, it has the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And the,
yeah.
So it's in the percussion section. But it's, you know, it's hitting strings, so you know, but it's like a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, harpsichord plucked the strings, now we're hitting them.
Yeah.
So I use the guitar edition. We could have melody here, but why not the melody here? Because sometimes with the organ, what do? We might play chords on the swell or the positive and have the melody on maybe the grate and add a 16-foot reed or put under a cornet stop maybe a 16 just to give us some character. So let your left hand be a lead. Especially with the hymnody, sometimes there's some stanzas that just really kind of cry out for, you know, booming, you know,
right.
Sing my tongue the glorious battle. You know, it doesn't quite work up here. Maybe inner stanzas do, but, so, you know, put that in your wheelhouse. I'm amazed the number of pianists who never accompany with octaves in the left hand.
Yeah.
And I think they ever thought of it, or maybe they ever heard it. And it's like, if you can play octaves in the right hand, you can play octaves in the left.
You have to switch your brain, though.
But you're doing it now. You didn't do it at first, but you've heard me do it enough, and
I
noticed you doing it now.
You can almost
cross your hands.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's another way of doing it. Yeah,
right.
that would freak me out, but I guess you could.
It's like, I have to. Have to actually practice to do that, you know.
Yes, we do.
Amazing.
Have to practice. We do, and you know, and then just for some variety, you could even have a tenor lead. If you got the hands for it. quickly, so you'd probably go. And that would be fine. Actually, you have the minor 10th, don't you?
It depends.
It's the major 10th would get you. Yeah, so you get the fascia stretched out on your hands.
No, I can't reach the D to the F.
You can't? All right, so you have to go quicker.
Yeah,
yeah, I get 11.
Yeah, you
I
have,
can do
you
it.
You have an advantage.
It is an advantage. Yeah, you get the fascia
is.
Stretched out and
yeah.
It's larger hands. But you can just do a quick roll. The key is to bring it out. Basically, a cello is doing the melody,
mm-hmm.
and you still have, now you've got a little bass under your cello, and because you have melody and bass mm-hmm. in your left hand,
mm-hmm.
now the right hand can just be a guitar. Bases covered.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't get all four bases covered if you just do this. Because you're missing the stops in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So there's a realization that with some discussion of the principles that underline those precepts.
Good.
Now let's talk about chanting.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle, like, what tone to use, and I thought, you know what, Divine Service 3 is probably still the most common of our services.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have prepared for you a clinic. You know, probably won't be able to get through all of these. Kind of like, if he wants to try something, you know, stop letting people try things. But here, this Divine Service 3 introit for the chanting, some pianistic possibilities.
Wonderful.
And I'm gonna walk you through. Oh, I have one last handout. Here it is. There it is. The green sheets. Yep, there they are. All right. I'm not gonna give this to you yet, because you might start reading this. But don't leave without it.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
All right. So in Divine Service 3, for the introit. If you use the standard tone so that you can sing the Gloria Patri that's in there, they have a tone in C major, and that kind of works with that. So you might have, I don't know, like how fully you do the liturgy with, like, you know, whether the antiphon is, how the antiphon might be sung. But if you use the tones from the book for the proper verse, you wind up with this tone from LSB. LSB organ edition, you have this. And a piano player could do that. But I can directly adapt this. I'm going to take the melody up an octave. What happens when I do that, though, is I need to do something with the alto line. I put it in the left hand. For the G and the A, you use every thumb on both notes. And already I think it leads people better. So, like, for the pastor, I might just play softly. Maybe just the first and last chords. And then if you have the people sing their part, then you come in, the people, they're going to be led better. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I could revoice this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how in the Teze example, how I moved an alto note up?
Mm-hmm.
So here I'm going to take the alto note that the left hand had taken before, which is right from the LSB accompaniment. No notes changed. I'm now going to move it up an octave. For someone with smaller hands that maybe doesn't want to do this with the left hand. And actually, it's got a little more sparkle to it. But what about a 16-foot stop? Now I got to move. move the whole chord up to the right hand. I think that works really well. Oh, sorry. My bad.
That'd be good for like the rock verses.
Yes, exactly, because we can have power in there, yeah. And so you accomplish it. So if you just did, it'd be empty, but by moving the harmony up to the right hand, you can get away with it in that little pedal. And then there's what we call resultant fifths. That's an acoustic thing. On an organ, especially because the pipe sustains sound, if you play a perfect fifth low in the octave, there's an acoustic phenomena of an octave lower pitch kind of sounding. It's called the resultant. And so there's a certain character of bass sounds that are just really cool. So we're starting to play with harmonics here. Like, you're familiar with the harmonic series? I can push these keys down. They haven't struck, but now the dampers are open, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the overtones. So there's certain overtones that are generated when you have fifths down here. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to, instead of having octaves on this D and the C, everything is pretty much the same. Instead of... You're a lot stronger with the fifth down there. Listen to the difference. Just the octave. Now I'm going to put the fifth instead of an octave. Judicious. You go certain, it's a little noisy down there, but there's certain registers where it's really cool, and then it's easier to play. Because now I'm just moving, I don't have to do an octave jump. And you're willing to put that, you're thinking octaves are good for a rock there, Jude? Well, it really works there for the rock. But maybe want to be warmer. Maybe the congregation now really know the tone. They don't need you, they don't need the 4 foot stop. Take the right hand down. Softer and warmer in that fifth. See how warm that fifth sounds instead of. Or I can go up on the piano and be lighter. And that gets really effective now. And now we're dealing with registration like an organ. So,
he drew me up out of the fiery pit, out of the muck and mire.
That can, and also that could be like maybe for men and women, different ways.
Right.
Oh, it gets, they're just, the ways continue. We can get brighter. We can get brighter. Let's take up an octave. Because now you're really accompanying them. Maybe that, they don't really need you so much, but you can, just a nice chime effect, maybe for some like really happy contrast. And we can make it downright shiny. Seconds now. So that's the handbell effect, all right? So Jude, if I have a major chord, and I use a second, handbell effect. So here's our major chord, adding the second, so as I call it, downright shiny. Just adding, instead of just putting that little sounds of handbell in there. A slower harmonic rhythm. Maybe we don't need chords everywhere. Now, chord theory. I'm changing the harmony a little bit. The E minor was kind of implied with the accompanied addition with that voice going down. Now I'm going to put E minor in the bass. I'm just going to say, you know what? Let's say I'm working with a guitar player. C major, E minor, A minor. We're just going to make that the chord progression. D minor, G, C. So I simplified it, and we're just going to play, and this, for the rest of these examples, we're just going to think of those chords. A one chord, a three chord, six, two, five, one. So one to a three, and then everything down a fifth. Three to six to two to five to one. Back to the original with octaves, but I could do an even slower harmonic rhythm. What about just going C major? A minor. what do we do here? I finessed it. Because I put the G under the D. It's a pleasing sound. It's a suspended chord. And that way I didn't have to change chords. If you go to the Psalm 119 sing-along at 4:30, I think it is, you'll hear me do something of that. When the solo cantors are singing, I'll do a real slow harmonic rhythm, because they don't need me to lead. But then I'll do the faster rhythm, or have more people. And then I can change the voices. Altos can lead. All the middle voices together. And I have alto and tenor. Over and over again. Yeah, the bass could lead. Okay, but maybe we can start changing the chords. All right, so we went to one, so we have a C major, E minor, A minor. Well, if the melody doesn't conflict, mm-hmm. E minor to A minor, that's fine. E minor is the dominant of A though. So I could make that an E7 chord. E major and make it stronger. Or the bass. So then we can really get into the weeds now, and some of this may move beyond you, but keep it because these are great examples, and you can study these. Yeah. Relative key. This is in major, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the relative minor. All right, let's say with minor tone, we'd go to relative major. But, you know, relative key. And to find a chord progression that would work, C major became A minor became F major. Often going down a third is what works, and you're looking for harmony. I'm going to breeze through because we're going to be short on time, but I will answer, give you an opportunity for questions. But you know, just trying to figure out a progression to make the relative key work. A pure drop three. This is a jazz arranging technique that big band guys use. See, basically, whatever chord you have, just lower it, if you like the sound, a third. So our chord progression was C major to E minor to A minor. All right, so we had this chord progression. So C major is going to become A minor.
Mm-hmm.
The E minor is going to become, hold. G, yeah, it's going to become G. Okay. Yeah, I guess I used the third there. Yeah, I should have done this. And then I'm going to go, instead of A minor, I'm going to go to, E minor becomes C. That's right, so C major chord. Then I'm going to have, instead of A minor, F major. Instead of D minor, B flat, because I didn't like the half diminished chord. So I just lowered that. So that's called a drop three, and it gives you this effect. I didn't want to end on minor, so I went back.
Right.
But and then you can go up three as well. So C major becomes E minor. And then E minor becomes G, and then A minor becomes C. And now I kind of turn it around. Or I could just borrow it from the parallel minor. So here's our dominant seven. Instead of F major, maybe F minor. Maybe for something that's tear jerky. Or I could strengthen it. Just thicker chords. But notice what I'm doing here. Instead of starting on one, I started on five. And that made me want to go to one. All right. Contrapuntally, how does this work? Okay. That mean there's all kinds of counterpoints you can do, but the basic counterpoint that any musician who wants to start coming up with their own harmonization should know. It's really simple. So take out your pencils and pads and write these four numbers down. They're your friends. Okay? 3, 5, 6, and 8. 3, 5, 6, and 8. With 3, 5, 6, and 8, unless as long as your middle notes are in the key, it's not going to sound too bad.
Yeah.
3, 5, 6, and 8. All right. You don't want to have two. You want to avoid 2 5s and 2 8s in a row. You can have 3s and 6s in a row. After you get about 3 3s or 6s in a row, it becomes boring. Those are the only rules I have. All right. And they're actually from medieval counterpoints. So how does this work here with contrapuntally? All right, I'm going to start from 3 as an example. Mm-hmm. So here's our tone. It's a G. Mm-hmm. All right? So a 3 would be E, because they're a third apart.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now I'm going to go opposite directions, counterpoints. So the melody goes down here. That means I have to go up in the other. So I can't go to an F, because that's a 7. So I'll go to... Ah, that's a 6. That works. So I go from 3 to 6, and then the next note is a D. It's down, so the bass goes up, right, Jude? Bass is going to go up. I can't go to an A, because that's a 4th, so I go to the 3rd. So we wind up with... The melody goes up, so the bass is going to go down, and that A does work against the E. So I have 3, 6... Sometimes parallel makes sense. You want to be parallel? You want to be Debussy? You just do it. Those are diatonic parallels. I stayed in the key. I didn't change anything. I just went parallel within the key. Some texts can evoke that, but you can also find a cool voicing. Yeah, yeah. And then just be totally chromatic, totally parallel. There might be some texts that evoke that. When we pray Psalm 119, you may hear me do some of this kind of a thing, okay? Like your enemies deriding you. Or those who say to me, aha, aha. More leading tones. Oh, I made A major instead of A minor. Look at that. That works because A leads to D minor, which was the next chord. So I'm like, I'll add one more leading tone in there. And then last but not least is harmonic regression, progressions. Write this down as well, okay? So I gave you the thumbnail counterpoint. The numbers are 3, 5, 6, and 8.
Right.
Okay? For harmonic progressions, if you're trying to like, yeah, what might work? You know, you don't want to try like spend an hour trying 50, 60 chords. So what's a good shortcut? Okay? Harmonic strength, progression. The strongest progression is down a 5th. Second strongest is down a 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3rd is up a 2nd. You can pretty much always jump back to do if you need to, go back to the 1 chord. So when I'm like kind of coming up with like harmony for something, you know, down a 5th, C major to F. F major is kind of cool. That worked. Down a 3rd, A minor. That worked too as well. You know, so I just kind of trust my ear. Up a 2nd, 3rd. Well, now I got a 9th. That might be a little jazzy. But you'll find those the most harmonically satisfying. But hey, you're from Virginia, you know? So you get up in toward Appalachia, they love regression. Uh-huh. Like, if you ever listen to Bruce Hornsby,
hell yes.
Oh yeah, regression, and that's that I wonder as I wonder kind of a sound, right? I wonder as I wonder, that's with the Sacred Heart.
Right.
So now I'm going to do the opposite of the rules, and actually instead of down a 5th, down a 4th.
Wow.
Instead of down a 3rd, up a 3rd. That's why it's called regression. But sometimes regression... Oh, cool. You almost hear Bruce jamming with that, you know? So that's an example of how you can take a lot of stuff, and then here's the sheet. So what I did here is ways to accompany psalm tones, and on the sheet that goes with, mm-hmm. common practice, relative, major, or minor, which I kind of got to when you turn the page.
Uh-huh.
Or like on page 3, relative key.
Right.
And then I had the drop thirds. That's where you just drop the bass a third and see how that works. Or up a third. Down a third is strength, up a third is beauty. Mm-hmm. Okay? Modal borrowing. That's where I borrow from the parallel key. So if I'm in major, I would borrow from the parallel minor. So instead of a major 4, a minor 4. Sometimes that gives you something. Or if you're in a minor key, borrow from the parallel major. And then I talked about strength. I had to write that down. There it is. Down a fifth, down a third, up a second. Otherwise, reassert the tonic. That's your progressive strength. Mm-hmm. Contrapuntally, there's your numbers. 3, 5, 6, and 8. Who do we appreciate? Counterpoint. Counterpoint. 7, diatonic parallelism. Yeah, tritone avoidance, that's sometimes when you're using parallels, you just might have something that tritone doesn't work, so it's okay to leave the key and do something to avoid that. But then chromatic parallelism, that's you just keep all the voices the same. So like you're just gonna use all major chords, you know. That's totally chromatic parallelism. Just whatever voicing chord you're using, you just do it. You just drive that train. Mm-hmm. The leading tones occurred when I added secondary dominants, or you can even use diminished chords. And that adds a certain strength, leading people some way. And then this last, the Bruce Hornsby thing, that's regression. Down a fourth, okay. Up a third, down a second. All of these can be voiced, as you see on the first page, with soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. As the deal, per the example sheet. And all can and should be realized with different accompanying rhythms. And that's the accompanying rhythms were this, like the slower, here I had 1, 2, 3, 4, I had 6 chords for the tone, mm-hmm. and then even slower, just 4 chords. You don't have to play 8 chords. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, some congregations need that, or sometimes it's okay, mm-hmm. especially, but it's good to get in your wheelhouse. Having a progression that works with a slower harmonic rhythm, especially when you're on piano. So, yes, we have to practice. Do you have to do all of these for every psalm tone you lead? No, but this is kind of guiding you.
Right.
And it gives you ideas. And you're going to find some ideas you like. Mm-hmm. And you said, then use them because you like them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you like the harmonic ideas more than the counterpoint ideas. That's fine. But then you're like, I'm using this harmony for pretty much the whole psalm. I want something different. Yeah, counterpoint might be a really cool thing to experiment. Or maybe, look at this. This is like a real severe text. Maybe I can come up with some kind of sound. Maybe something, if it's demonic, right? Tritones, right?
Just don't do that in a Catholic church.
That's right. Or fifths, sometimes fifths are kind of cool. You let the text be your guide. And any questions?
No, you've given us a lot of good ideas, so thank
you. Yeah, and then that's the thing is, it's their ideas. Take them or leave them.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is to get into your laboratory and practice and use your ear.
Yeah.
And I'll just reiterate the first thing I said, chant first, sing first. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're going to lead, pray the psalm and get an idea of the text, what you're going to do.
Right.
And then play. And then work with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you won't be able to sing and play right away at the same time, but sing it first, and then you can what do I want to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
And again, you don't have to prove you're creative. You might find 3 things or 2 things or 4 things.
Right.
And that's what works. But it may take 10 or 12 things to decide, that's how I want to do it this Sunday on this text with this psalm.
Right. That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening in to this recorded session from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. We hope you'll join us at one of our conferences in the future. Visit lcms.org/worship-institute for more information. lcms.org/worship-institute.